Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not quite as loud as that one. Hold on. There we go. Well, that's not what I wanted at all. Let's try this. Just a little. Is that a little bit more appropriate? I just don't do very well with these sound effects. I should just leave them alone. Hi, this is Mudzo, and you've tuned into The Uncommon Shaman. My still pretty new show, still has that new show smell. Not quite a continuation, but pretty close to a continuation of my former show here on Blog Talk Radio, which was called Mudzo at Midnight. It was necessary to change the title because we decided to, me and Chief Iggy and I decided to move the show back or forward. How would you say it? It's 10:30 p.m. now instead of midnight. Well, of course, it didn't make any sense to call the show Mudzo at Midnight anymore, although, you know, 20th Century Fox is still 20th Century Fox, even though it's 21st Century now. We made the big decision to go ahead with another name and do that with The Uncommon Shaman, a nickname that was given to me by David Two Crows, whose book, As the Crow Flies, is out there. You want to take a look at it. It is full of wit and wisdom. And let me come back to the subject before I sub-reference again. This show is, okay, I can see I'm going to have to, I'm very sorry, I don't multitask very well. And I also am a bit cavalier about preparing my hardware for the show. I forgot to turn off my screensaver, and it came on and blocked out the studio screen there, so I can't see what I'm doing. So here, for just a moment, let me turn off the screensaver, and I'll be right back with you. Or maybe not. There we go. This is just loads of fun. I thought this was going to be such a, you know, like I was going to turn on the crowd cheering, and that's going to be a nice joke for y'all, and then maybe follow that up with the crickets cricketing, and then that's sort of a follow-up going the other way with this joke, and you know, I'll be happy with that. But that didn't come out that way, and now I'm just talking while I cover myself as I try to turn the screensaver off, and now I'm back. Okay. So that's 2.5 minutes of the show gone. What I'm trying to work my way up to, first of all, is what the show is all about, and second, what I'm going to talk about today. So the show is and always has been about what I feel moved to say, what I feel that the spirit has moved me to say, with the idea that somebody somewhere needs to hear that. I don't know how, I don't know why. But this activity, I'm having some force somewhere pays me back for this, for doing this activity, by giving me peace of mind. Now, sometimes it only lasts for a few minutes after the show is over. Sometimes it lasts considerably longer than that. It depends on how I feel about the show and also sort of the intensity of what's going on around me. So, although we do have that, this is withinsightsradio.com channel of blogtalkradio.com. Withinsightsradio.com does have a place for love offerings, because we don't, you know, we don't get those commercials that you see at the beginning. We don't get anything from that. That all goes to Blog Talk. So you can go to the website and take a look around at what we have to offer there, and perhaps see a little something. This is listener-supported radio, as we say. So there goes that divergence. Most of the other shows you'll hear and hear about readings. I don't really do that, although Chief Iggy wants me to try and develop that, and I am doing a card reading show, the third show every month. It's about my never-ending quest for serenity. And I know what drives me is a need to share what's going on in my head. And I don't know why anyone would be interested in that. I never have. But it's something that's driven me ever since I was a young man, ever since I was a teenager, I felt driven to let people know what was going on in my head. And often that works to my detriment because often the things that are going on in my head are unsettling to the people around me. Unsettling in a way that kind of goes to it disrupts that energy we share, if that's vague enough for you. It implies that things are going to change, that the inexorable nature of change, what is some Buddhist master said, that the only thing that that never changes is the idea that everything changes. And as human beings, I think just as beings in particular, we don't really, well, maybe I'll restrict it to human beings. I don't know that much about beings that aren't human. I never asked my spirit guides this question, but we want to feel the permanence is what keeps us tied to this earth. That may be redundant to say it that way. We like permanence. Why don't I just leave it at that? We really like permanence. And when someone or something comes along and disturbs that illusion of permanence and safety, we tend to react badly. So I, rather than scream from the rooftops, I come to this radio show where only a single digit number of people are even listening. That's fine. If no one was listening, I'd still do it because an important part of the show is just doing the show is just for me, about me, just to do it. And trust that the words that need to get someplace else will get there. Now, this is episode 5. I am making an effort to keep track of the episodes. I lost track of the episodes as much about midnight to the point that I didn't know whether we had been on for 4 years or 5 years. I spent the last couple of weeks of the show discussing having been on for 4 years. Turned out I was on for 5, so it was actually an even longer run than I had anticipated. So five years, about 250 shows, but at the end of it, I didn't even really know where I was. And this, this may be going back to the illusion of permanence again, the numbers on the episodes, and that being somehow, I feel that that's somehow important. But I am numbering them right on the titles now. So it will be difficult, not impossible, but difficult to get them mixed up. This is The Uncommon Shaman, Episode 5, and I have titled it 33 Down, 16 to Go. Now, my plans for this show have been very elaborate. I wanted to get not just the show announced, but also a companion piece on my blog, and then maybe even some material, you know, photographs or whatever, on the Mudtoe Sasquatch Facebook page. Now, those grand plans have come to nothing so far. A big part of that is this big disturbance in my life right now, which is that I've started back onto full-time employment for the first time in 10 years. And really, it's really taking some getting used to, and what I'm finding is when I get home at the end of the day, I don't want to do anything but sit in front of the television, and I actually do have television now. First thing I bought with my my newfound wealth was cable and internet. So I can also get online from home now. I don't have to find a library or a Taco Bell where I can do these things. I can do them home from now, which is fine. But with these things going on, I've been going through a period that you just finished, a 4-week period of training for this job that I'm about to do, called a QIDP, or Q for short. It stands for Qualified Individual Development Professional. And what I do is I put together programs for people who are developmentally disabled. They live in a group home. I'm going to be in charge of 2 group homes, 8 clients or consumers. We call them consumers, 8 in each house. So I'll be responsible for the programs of 16 people. The idea is I meet with the people who are involved, the guardian, the doctors, the nurses, psychiatrists, anyone who happens to be involved with this with the consumer's care and figure out, the consumer as well, and figure out what the program should be, you know, what the medical interventions they need, adaptive equipment that the person might need, places they want to go, things they want to do. Many of them work at workshop, many don't. This is the plan. This is how we know this person, and this is what these are the responsibilities we're taking on behalf of this person. These are the things that this person wants us to do for them, and that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm very excited about it. I've wanted about the only thing I knew that I wanted from my career was the chance to help people one-on-one and interact with them and be able to, if not solve, at least mitigate or address in some way their problems and be able to do that in front of them, basically. I worked, you know, for very large companies. We were working for other very large companies, and I never derived the same satisfaction from that kind of work as I did for, say, when I was at the university. And I had a part-time job there while I was working on a PhD. And people would come in for training on computers, and I would take care of that. And that would require me to go and find other resources. And my boss was kind enough to allow me to do that. And I created sort of a position where there hadn't been a position before. It had just been a student job where people made sure nobody stole the computers. It was about. But that ended when the financial support ended in 2012, and I've been looking for full-time work ever since. But at the same time, maybe dragging my feet, just because, as I said, at 51 years old and not having held down a 40-hour week job for 10 years, can I still do it? Now, I'm not 100% sure of that because everything has been training, although there has been plenty of hours and plenty of frustrations involved in that period. I have come through it. I feel confident that when I start at my two houses on Monday, that I doubt that I'll be 100%, but at least I will have some idea where to start. And I also believe that the company will provide the resources I need to help me succeed. But where I'm at is 16 years to go. And that's sort of the meaning of my cryptic title there, episode 5, 33 down, 16 to go. I've been in the working world for 33 years in one capacity or another. And not always full-time, but you've got to work somewhere to get the money. Can't make a scene if you don't have the green. 33 down, 16 to go. So 33 years of career completed, 16 to go. So 2/3 of my working life is completed. Let me say where that figure. I mean, 33 is obviously 33 years. I started working. I started from when I got out of high school, and I did summer jobs, and then picked up odd jobs while I was at school. But, I mean, that's work, and Social Security counted it. I kind of got a whole year credit for work that I did, that kind of part-time summer and while you're in school stuff. So counting all that stuff, it's 33 years of work. 16 to go starts at 51, but 33 is 18 to 51. 51 to 67 is where the 16 years is from. 57 would be when I would be eligible to receive Social Security, at least full, a full payment of Social Security. Now, obviously, there are some assumptions involved here. First of all, is Social Security still going to be there? That's something I remember saying cynically, a long time ago. Well, you're not even really going to expect to receive Social Security, and this is, we would laugh at this at the time when our 401ks were turning over 20-30% a year, and we were all going to be millionaires before we retired. That isn't really happening anymore, but it's a different world, different expectation. What comes with that is this fear, I'll call it a fear, that What if the Social Security gets defunded? Because again, I said when I was younger, we poo-pooed Social Security. We didn't think we were going to need it, and now it would appear to be the only way. I mean, it's the only way I'm going to be able to make a living at 67 unless I keep working till I die. There's no retirement remaining from the let's say, so that's interesting. Because I'm not exactly sure what happened to that money. I think actually I had to give it up in one of my various bankruptcies. Is how they, that should have been, that's right. I don't even remember what happened to that money. I mean, there was a substantial block of money that was left, from the go-go 80s, and then a lot of it went away during the 90s. It was just the market went sour. But at the time I lost my last job in industry, which was in 2001, I still had about $35,000 in 401ks. I don't want this to become, this is not the who is it, Mark Insana show on MS or CNBS, whatever it is, where he talks about this stuff. I don't want that stuff that the show is going to become. I'm going to fight to make sure it does not become that. I just remember that there was this, I remember because I talked to my attorney about how we might be able to preserve that. There's a substantial amount of cash. And I do not remember what happened to it because I don't have it now. The only thing I have put away is about $12,000 while I was teaching that was put away in the state teacher's retirement fund. And that's basically it. And I have a fully vested, pension from the very first job I did. That's, I'm figuring, and this is just kind of a guess, that, something like $150, $200 a month might come from this because I worked at the job full-time for 7 years. Using the formula, the last formula that they provided me. It's also a reminder to me I need to get in touch with them because I need to give them my new address. They've been tracking me for what now? Since 1995. So 21 years since I left that company. And I have a pension. It's something they will pay me when the time comes. All of those things are going to be vital. But Social Security is going to be the linchpin. Without it, I have to keep working or I have to go live at the county home. And that's the end of independence. And all of this has been going on for the past 4 years since I lost my job at the university. All of this has been about continued independence, which there's a paradox there because, my parents have been providing me a lot of help. And the rest of it comes from various government agencies because I made a little bit of money, but not nearly enough to pay bills. Well, now I'm in a transition period. Over the next 6 months, all of my government stuff is going to go offline, and I have to make it up myself out of the money that my new employer is paying. And I am not 100% sure there's going to be enough. I mean, they're paying me a pretty fair salary. It's not the most I've ever made in my life, but it's pretty good. It's not the least. I'm not starting over from zero. And they'll have a 401k that I can participate in as well, so there'll be time to save a little bit more money between now and 0 hour. I really did not want this to become a financially based conversation. I'm not sure how I allowed that to happen. What I want to express is sort of a transition from that feeling of certainty, that false feeling of certainty and permanence, to a feeling that this might not all it might not be all right. Maybe it's not okay. The goal is not certain. I may be able to step away and live at least a mostly independent existence when all of this is done. And I may not. And it all depends on the vagaries of what goes on in the government. And that makes, I mean, that makes me angry. That makes all of us angry to be dependent on somebody else. But at the same time, isn't that part of that uncertainty that is part and parcel of our existence? I mean, that uncertainty that makes for change, that makes for our lives become better in some ways, or at least I enjoy life in the 21st century than I would have enjoyed life in the 15th century. I think on balance, most of the things that most of the advancements that spirit has inspired in humankind are things that have made things better for us. Of course, it's like any tool. You can pick it up and you can use it for good, or you can pick it up and use it for bad. Just like that famous opening sequence in Stanley Kubrick's 2001. You can see it with the apes, and they are starving to death. The extraterrestrials inspire them to pick up the bones of dead animals that are around them and use those as tools. But at the same time, they can use the tools for good things like hunting for food or making their life better. They can also use them to kill their rivals. It's a double-edged weapon. Any kind of any change has the potential to do the very same thing. So Social Security might become better. Some inspiration might come along, and it's very difficult to imagine this, and I don't want to become too terribly cynical at this point, but our government, the performance of our government officials seems to get worse and worse as time goes on. It's hard to imagine something approaching inspiration coming from them, but perhaps the inspiration comes from someplace else. And enough people adopt the idea that it simply can't be resisted. And there's certainly a ways that Social Security could become better, and it may happen, even in a time frame as short as 16 years. And then there's the other edge of that coin. People could decide, the people in charge could decide. Again, this is also difficult to imagine because of the political influence of retirement-based political action groups like AARP. But they decide we're going to save some money by getting rid of Social Security. And what happens is President Franklin Roosevelt feared. You just have a population of older people who are unable to make their living, first of all because they may be physically unable, and second of all because people aren't going to hire you after a certain time. So you'd have a massive population of elderly people who were dependent on relatives or unable to make any sort of living at all. So there's that working against the sort of abolition of Social Security. Now, probably the bigger, the more scary possibility, would be the privatization of Social Security. Once something becomes privatized, even people are trying to get their cut. It becomes an exercise in capitalism, the whole Obamacare thing has gone so far. It's more or less business as usual. Well, for them, it's business as usual up until now for the insurance companies now, kind of becoming even bolder in their demands on their clients who are able to pay. And what everybody else in the world is doing, we can't do that because it's not our idea. It's got to be American exceptionality strikes again. But anyway, gosh, how many of these damn radical ideas am I going to touch on tonight? I got over 5 minutes left. I actually feel myself running out of gas too. It's not nearly as bad as it was in the midnight show, but even the 10:30 show is energetically a challenge, and particularly on that, like tonight where I drove to my parents after work, didn't get here to sit down to eat until about 7 p.m. It was amazing to me how quickly the time for the show picked up on me, and now I am here. I am trying to swim my way through it, but I have, at the very least, I have successfully filled most of the time. It's always good. I mean, I don't remember if there's ever been an episode where I just simply could not think of anything else to say. I know there have been pauses. There have been awkward pauses. I'm not able to come up with a time when, or at least a memory of the time, when everything just went blank. And I'm not getting, check my Facebook, but that wasn't about the show. So. I'm looking at y'all on Blog Talks Studio, they call it, and it's just tells me what's going on, who may be calling, although I very seldom answer a phone call unless I know I'm going to get it. And there's a list of sound effects, which, as you saw, don't work too terribly well. It's not for me. I've never listened to it on the show. I need to go back and listen to what those sound effects sound like on the archive version of the show. And you can go back and find the archive of all of our shows on Blog Talk. So I listen to some of mine. It's The Uncommon Shaman. If you go back further, it'll be Nuts at Midnight. Then you'll pick up Chief Iggy's show that airs on Mondays. Chief Iggy and David Two Crows, and sometimes Leon Arts. I think that many. And you can look at there's the Wednesday shows. There's different people who pop in. And Chief Iggy is online. I want to be listening. Sometimes he gives me a little critique after the show via text. I am on the cell phone again tonight, by the way, but next week I should be on my new landline that came along with my cable. So I'm presuming that the sound quality on the landline is going to be better than the sound quality on the cell phone. I don't know that, but that would be my guess. And there's Chief Iggy. But, yeah, do check into that. Because I think you'll like it. They're different. The shows that the other hosts do are very, very different from mine. You're going to get a lot of reading. You're going to get a lot of, Iggy's been talking a lot lately about the presidential election and how he sees it playing out and how he sees it unfolding over the next 8 years. And then people call in to argue with him about that. It's entertaining, and maybe you'll have something that you want to add yourself. I just never really felt that was, direct sort of interaction in that way was my path. I just kind of like to talk. And I know I can get kind of a dreary listening for half an hour, but as I said, you can go to the archive, you can download the shows and listen to them at your leisure. Maybe get on your editor and cut me down to about 15 or 10 minutes or speed me up. And then you can email that back to me and say, boy, that does kind of work. Why did I take 30 minutes? No, why did I take 30 minutes? It's just kind of, because the other shows tend to be 60 minutes. I took 30 minutes. It just didn't feel like I could talk for 60 minutes. Things really get really get interesting. I think it's had to make this work for, just kind of, I know it's going to get Ariana's sound effect. My intro for Snowball, I recorded that. I've got the old Mudco intro here. The others used to work. This sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Maybe. See, that's pretty good. Why does that sound good and the other sound effects sound so bad? Well, no. This is something we mortals were never meant to understand. So next week, there's going to be another show, and it'll be about something else. And maybe, just maybe, now that I'm out of the training and into actual work, I will have my anxiety will be reduced, and I will be able to do some of this writing and other support activities for the show and to make it much more of an interesting experience for you guys. So I'm going to continue to work on that. I appreciate your support. Thanks for tuning in, and have a pleasant good evening.